Hey friends, we are still an Easter people, a people of the resurrection, and I don't know about you, but I have kind of been mulling this gift and processing this gift of Easter over in my head in ways that I have never done before because of our current circumstances. It's kind of given me a chance to pause and just kind of sit with the weight and the power of the empty tomb. The imagery of what that weight is or the idea of this gift and what does this gift look like came to me Wednesday night when I was watching the encore of Common Table's Easter service. And then I hear in the back in the girls' room, I hear some shenanigans happening. And I go into their room and what are they doing? But they're having an egg hunt for each other from the eggs that they had gotten on Sunday morning. And it was one of those moments where there was such joy in what they were doing and such love for one another because one of them kind of went to bed a little bit grumpy. And so I can't help but think that this was maybe the perfect thing to do. However, it was also way past bedtime. And so I kind of got them settled. Let's say that I did something there. I really didn't. But the idea was that between their eggs and what I noticed on Ben's sweatshirt was these like three grenades and this awesome hoodie that he had on. And I thought, man, that is the gift of Easter, right? It's that we have this imagery of Easter eggs that are almost like these love grenades that we have been given. That Jesus has given us this weapon of mass disruption, of showing us that love wins. And so, what do you expect from a Lord who rides into Jerusalem on a donkey or washes his disciples' feet, but a way to combat the self-centeredness and self-sufficiency kind of mentality of our culture by saying, here is this gift that you get to give away, that you get to toss recklessly about, and it is all about love. The message of the empty tomb is about the way that love wins the day over death. God is confident that love wins. God is almost saying to us on Easter, no, I've got the hard work done. Now you take this and go and do what I've called you to do. Because you see that throughout all the Gospels, Jesus, his MO wasn't to say that he was right. It was to say that he was bringing about the kingdom, that he was bringing about a new kind of way to live. And that way was to put love above prudence sometimes. Remember how he would get in trouble? It was getting in trouble for loving people, for touching people that no one else would touch, or for letting a woman anoint him with expensive oil. But we could have used that for something else, the disciples say, or for choosing relationship over the rules. And so today we're beginning this new series that's entitled Everybody Always, based on a book by Bob Goff. I would suggest that you go into the notes section right now, get a copy of the book, because it is fantastic. But in the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about how loving better can live to a more abundant and purposeful life for us and for our neighbors. And speaking of neighbors, I'm glad you asked, you know, who is our neighbor? Because that's what we heard about in our scripture today, right? That Jesus gives these two commands, and it's to love God and love your neighbor. And then he talks about who those neighbors are, telling the story of the Good Samaritan as we come to know it. And essentially, if we're going to boil that all of that down, the answer in short is, your neighbor is anyone within the blast radius of your love grenade. I like that, right? Let that sink in for a little bit. If for those of you who are a little bit more type A and need bounds around that definition, maybe it's love. Your neighbor is anyone within 30 yards of where you currently are. And that's a moving target, right? Or anyone you have access to within 30 yards. So if you've got your phone, you've got access to a whole lot more people, right? But the people in your life that you are around and do life with daily, even those that rub you the wrong way, even those who cheer for the Dallas Cowboys, even those who look at the world so differently than you. You know, those people. But why? Why do we have to love our neighbor? Because our identity is reflected in how we love. Towards the end of the Gospel of John, Jesus has just washed the disciples' feet in the upper room on the Passover, and what he says is essentially, other people are going to know you by the way that you love one another. You don't need to wear a huge cross or just wave some kind of banner about whose disciple you are, because people are going to know that you are my disciple based on the way that you love well. What does this kind of love look like? What does it look like to love the people within our blast radius? I think that for that, we do have to look to our kids, because kids do this best. In particular, my daughter Eden crushes this all the time. I remember fairly recently, one of the things, we were going through the grocery store and she was picking out all of these snacks. And it was weird because, number one, she doesn't often pick out the snacks. She'll ask or whatever, but she was picking out all of these snacks and they weren't typically ones that she would eat. And so when we asked her about it, she said, oh yeah, well, some of my friends, really, these are their favorites. And sometimes one of my friends or a couple of my friends don't have enough food. And so rather than just giving them whatever I have left over, I want to make sure that I have a special snack that they really love. Isn't that amazing? This is the same kid who threw tea parties for our 100-pound German Shepherd because it was his birthday or he looked lonely that day, right? I mean, this is the kind of way that when we talk about loving people within our blast radius, anything with a heartbeat, Eden will go out of her way, above and beyond, to make feel special. And so with that example, though, we're going to pause for just a moment. And in the chat, I want you to take some time and think about the question of what holds you back from loving others in your blast radius in this way. As you type, I know that for me, you know, for me, some of it is I might just look goofy in front of people. I'm an introvert, that's what I do. Or I can't do it for everybody, so I shouldn't even try for one person. Maybe I'm afraid, let's be real, right? Or what if I do it for these people and then I don't have enough? Kids do it best, but I don't know that it's just an age thing. Because my friend Dennis, when we went to Haiti, showed me what it was like to love anybody within your blast radius. One of the best examples I have is that we were teaching some of the village kids how to wash their hands and the importance of soap. And in the midst of that, while the line was forming, they were a little bit restless, Dennis was letting them try on his hat. And they were laughing, going from this kind of mundane, you know, daily task to all of a sudden, smiles ear to ear, just laughing there. Their heads off, because Dennis knows what it is to love people within that blast radius. The more that I do this faith thing, the more that I believe that if I just get out of the way and throw my love grenades recklessly and with reckless abandon, I'm going to be a better follower of Jesus. Chris, get this through your head. I died so that you can now love and that you can know love and that you can show that same kind of love to other people. That's what I've been hearing all this week as I've tried to reflect on the power of the cross and Easter, that our insecurities about God tries to defend God when really we're just getting in the way. We're trying to inform people and they want a story to step into. They want a God to believe in and that sees them and recognizes them and calls them by their first name, like Moses at the burning bush. Like Jonah when he turns away and then finally turns back to God. Even like Jesus when he's baptized and God says, "This is my child, my son, who I am well pleased." Everybody always sees this need to belong and within our blast radius of love says, "You are someone who is worth being part of this conversation. And so today, I would encourage you to make a list of those people who are inside the blast radius of your love, and then love them in the way that you want Jesus to love you this week. Let's pray. God, as the weight of Easter continues to be upon us, we ask that you fall afresh on us. Allow us to see that gift of those love grenades that you sometimes hide, but also we always know that there are more where that came from. And allow us to use them. Use them to showcase your kingdom and your love for us, and the power of not only loving those that are around us, but knowing in that moment that it's because of that love that we belong, and that we can have the confidence to pray. Amen.